Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
And you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Holy cow, Better Call Saul fans. This has been the episode we have all been waiting for. Season 5, Episode 8, Bagman, directed by the creator himself, Vince Gilligan. I'm still in shock. Yo soy abogado, Ryan Nilsson, and I just want to introduce this incredible Justice Team panel. First up, she's been gone for a few weeks, a little under the weather, and we are just happy for the return of Gabby Castania.
Yes, Gabby. Yes.
Welcome back.
Hey guys, thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I miss you guys so much, and I missed reviewing the show with you. I feel like I had so much to say the last couple episodes, so finally could let it all out.
This is the perfect one to come back to, with it being maybe the best episode yet. Okay, I'm getting too ahead of myself. We also joined by Lauren Kling, massive fan of this. He's doing a ton of after shows right now. Lauren, how are you doing?
I'm a little loopy because I've been doing after shows all day, three different shows, but this episode was a great way to end my evening. You know what? Why I agree, I think this might be one of the best episodes of the entire series, because we're in the desert. And when I think of the desert, we think of Walt, and we think of the RV and how Breaking Bad all started. So that's why I'm really excited about this episode.
And lastly, we got Sean McHugh, the actor, writer extraordinaire, and he's got a new setup down here. Sean McHugh.
I don't know about you guys, but my money room is way bigger than that.
I'm digging the tunes, which we got that sound drop in the episode. Sean, how you doing?
And no, I am not Slim Shady. I'm actually the original OG, the guy that he stole it from, Labby Cerise. So there you go. There you go. A little trivia there.
Guys, we got to get right into this. I mean, we got an hour and 15 long episode today. Was this, I want to do overall thoughts, but I got to include there, was this the best episode of Better Call Saul yet? Lauren?
You know, it's hard to call anything the best episode. However, the twins are back or here for the first time, or I don't know what you say, but we've got the Salamanca twins who were here just for a brief moment, who really had nothing to say at all. So just that, and also, oh my God, Kim going to meet Lalo had to be the most crazy part of this whole episode.
She is in the game now. Gabby, overall thoughts?
I think it might be the best episode, but I think it's the most pivotal episode so far in the series, just as far as switching over to the whole world and realm of Breaking Bad, because like you said, there's the desert and this Kim knows about it now, and he's actually in the act with Lalo as far as, you know, being in the cartel, getting the money and stuff. I don't know. I just think that this was such an important episode. Like you said, we're saying before filming, this is where everything turns. And you can, this is going to be where fans go. This is the episode where everything changed.
John, overall thoughts, man.
Well, I don't know if it's the best episode, but it's pretty close. And as always,
oh my God. I love it. Sean McHugh.
You have the best setup.
Holy cow, dude. I love it. Yes, we are Team Lalo, by the way. Lalo is our favorite character of the season, I think, so far. I don't want to speak for everyone, but Sean and I, we all really, really like him a lot. I still, Rae Seahorn is my favorite actress on TV. And holy cow, guys. So today we're going to be talking about a lot of stuff. First up, just saw being the bag man for Lalo, going to pick up $7 million at the Mexico border. We also got Mike saving him. Holy cow. And then, like you just said, yes, Kim pays a visit to Lalo, and she might be in the game. All right, guys. First up, Saul agrees. He counter offers Lalo to go pick up the money. $100,000. What does this decision mean? How did you feel about the counter, Sean?
Well, I think it was very apropos for our boy Saul, because he's all about pushing the limit, right? He really has nothing to lose. I mean, if he says no, then he gets to go home to Kim, and he's better for it. So, you know, I think it was very on brand for Saul. I think he could have got 500K, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he kind of – Lalo. I like how Lalo kind of was like – almost thought about it, right, or played like he was – like it actually mattered,
yeah.
You know. And then, of course, it's like, no problem. Done. We'll see you later.
Oh, my God. Did the greed mm-hmm. get the best of him there, Gabby?
Oh. Yeah, I think it did. I think that he was just focused on the money aspect. I mean, it's just typical him, but I think a lot in this episode you see the battle of himself. Like, he's been going through this whole series of battles himself, like, should I be doing this? And I think he learned his lesson when by the end of the episode, like, thinking I might have made a mistake here and maybe Kim was right.
I don't even know if the end of the episode, I think the second he got pulled over, he was learning his lesson. Maybe Lauren, yeah. was this a tipping point for Saul Greed? What are your thoughts?
You know what? I don't think this was anything really any different than anything else, because even though we're just talking about a larger money dollar amount, I don't think it was any different. I think Saul's just kind of gradually found himself further and further down this rabbit hole, and the money has gotten larger and the zeros afterwards have gotten bigger. Where it takes Saul between here and Breaking Bad, who knows? We've got a lot of room for him. But again, what the big difference here is that Kim is now involved, whether she wants it or not. I'm really curious. It really changes the possibilities of what's going to happen to Kim before the end of this series.
Oh my God. I'm scared just thinking about it, but it's interesting. I don't think it's similar to what we've seen in the past episodes. We know Saul is greedy. We know he's been flirting with the cartel. I think the scene that really was a surprise to me was when Kim outright says, I don't want you to do this. Like, she just says it straightforward, and he hugs her. Everything's going to be fine, going against what she wants. And it's almost, I almost felt like that hug, they held on that hug a little long. I feel like that hug was an indicator of, is that the last time everything's going to be how it was? Everything's different now.
Do you think it's going to be that soon? Yeah.
What do you mean? Like, do you think, like, I just think their relationship's never the same after this.
After this.
Yeah, after that hug, it's all changing. I mean, Sean, he goes.
Well, I was gonna say.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just gonna say. I think after that hug, it's all different, because he goes, gets the money, and the second he got pulled over, oh my gosh, I'm like, who are these guys? What's going on? At first, I thought they were just testing him to see if he took any of the money, but I'm like, oh, these are rivals. This is just another gang. Lauren, your postage just fell. It was really funny. But I thought he was toast. I honestly know he survives in Breaking Bad, but I myself was second guessing what was going to happen to Saul there. Did you expect it to be Mike who saves him, Sean?
Definitely not. Just to quickly go back to the hug, I would just say that this is where, Ryan, I would agree with you 1,000%. The look in Kim's eyes was such great acting. Like, they literally, like, welled up as we were looking at them, and it said it all. It said everything she was thinking. It was like, you do this, like, you cross the line. There's no coming back from this. And he just goes in for the hug because he knows he's going to do it. So I think you're right. Like, this is a turning point. Like, they can never be the same.
And it's a gamble. It's such a gamble. Yeah, what was that, Gabby?
It's an awful gamble. I mean, we know how this is going to go eventually. But it's Jimmy. Like, it's Jimmy trying to outdo, you know, trying to take that shortcut that never pays off, you know. So, but as far as that whole thing, when they start shooting, I mean, I knew that these guys were rivals, but I just assumed that it was the twins coming back. Like, I had no idea that we were getting the original OG who out OG'd all OGs in this episode. Mike, wow, I was amazing.
Yeah,
yeah,
Gabby.
Something I wanted to something. Oh
no, go for it, Lauren. What was that?
Yeah, go for it, Lauren.
Something that that I was really interested in realizing was, as soon as I saw that it was not the car that the Salamanca brothers were in, it was Mike. I knew it was Mike because Mike was a sharpshooter, and I remember he was working with someone who was a sharpshooter, if I remember correctly. And so right away I knew it was Mike. The fact that he was able to take everyone out, what seemed like from both sides of the canyon, that's what I thought, that there were multiple people. So that was the only surprise, that it was one person, Mike, and not two or more.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to be Mike. And we get the payoff with the gas tank. Like, he had a tracker in there, we know, after the car ran out of gas, and that just paying back from other seasons. Yeah, that's why he took the little gas pump canisters. He was tracking
Zaw.
Wild. Just
it's
wild.
Funny. I remembered the whole thing, but I didn't put the two together. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for doing that,
just
Ryan.
Just paying
That's
homage
good.
To yeah, the yeah. other seasons. And it makes perfect sense, too. But, oh my gosh, when the car died, when the alternator went, I was like, I've been there. Having my car last year. Not with a bullet, though. I could not believe they were going to push the car over. And he even gets his mug, and there's a bullet through the mug. Oh my gosh, guys. Gabby, thoughts on the trek home, the walk?
The part that got to me the most, besides the urine and the bottle, is the fact that Mike said that Kim is officially in the game now. And I was like, oh crap, here it goes, everything's going to change. And he messed up by telling Mike that she knew about the stuff that was going on. That broke my heart, hearing, oh, Kim's officially in it. I was like, damn it, why did you tell him? Why did you say anything? But I don't know. I also think that it was a pretty great episode as far as, like, the walk home, because it showed the dynamic between how much Mike and Saul or Jimmy have gone through before Breaking Bad. So that shows their whole pet, like, going through all that together. They both did the ugly cry by the end of it. Did you see that? They both did the ugly cry because they were so defeated and exhausted. It was a great scene.
All right, yeah, we got to break into everything about Kim. Just first off, just want to shout out the live chat again. We're live every Monday, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We got Michael Marciano in the chat, Cody Briner, Lauren Nilsson, DJ Will, John Ulett Jr. Someone saying, wait a second, the opening scene had to be either Jay Leno or Jerry Seinfeld's garage with all those cars. Nice. Guys, Kim, Ray Seahorn, Kim, my girl, she's in the game now, and Saw knows it, and I think she even knows it. Thoughts on her visiting Lalo and just not, I mean, I don't think she should have known any better. Like, what else was she going to do?
Right. Well, you know, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, I was sitting there watching that, and I was like, what would I do? I mean, I don't have as many like guts as she does to go and visit Lalo, but you could also see the pain in her eyes when she's sitting there and trying to remain calm or act tough or hard in front of him and be like, I will do this and this, and no, the cops will never find out. But when she gets quiet and she's just looking at him, you could just see her eyes, kind of like you mentioned before, her eyes, like the pain in her eyes when Jimmy's going to, you know, make the decision to go get the bags of money. You could just see the pain in her eyes and how she is freaking out. And that brings me to think that she really does still have, you know, feelings and cares about Jimmy more than we think, or she lets off during the whole show.
Oh my gosh. I mean,
yeah. And I was going to say that I didn't notice her eyes, but I noticed her breathing. You know, she's very collected and talking to Lalo, like, I got this. But then when she's done talking and waiting, her chest is just going in and out. And then there's that sigh. And you could tell that was the wife, that was the caring part of Kim wanting to save Jimmy.
Oh my God.
Well, for me, this scene is why I am Team Lalo. Because this guy doesn't blink, right? Like, he potentially has lost $7 million if Jimmy doesn't or Saul doesn't show up. And he has his wife, like, who he's impressed with. I will give him that. He is impressed with Kim in this scene. Like, wow, you came all the way down here for and talked to me? Like, that's pretty gangster. But through all of this, he's not budging. Nothing phases this guy. And, you know, you can just tell that this guy has cartel in his blood. Like, he is cold. And even, like, this almost grieving widow doesn't even remotely move him. So,
I
don't know.
Speaking of Team Lalo, I mean, this is terrifying for on a whole new level, I feel like, villain-wise. You know, in Breaking Bad, just making a parallel to Gus, you know, Gus threatened Walt. He threatened his family. But we never had a direct contact with Gus and Skyler. Like, this was Lalo. And now he knows what she looks like. They have talked. They have spoken to each other. The biggest target on her back when Saul gets back. I am terrified for her. What do we think is going to happen? I'm freaking out just even thinking about it right now. I'm terrified. I wonder. It's a weird line, because if Jimmy delivers the money, he's essentially letting this guy who could give all this harm to the person he loves free. It's a really tough position to be in. but guys, so it doesn't go well, the meeting. He walks away, and we just were left with that one image of Kim. And I was freaking out. It was I was getting Seven vibes. I was really worried. It's ending with them in the desert.
Wow.
We don't know what's happening to Kim. I was really scared we were going to get some kind of box. But
hey, no box. No box.
Instead, we got the two buddy road show of Saul and Mike walking home, and they can't go on the road. Brutal. Absolutely brutal.
Ooh.
Did anyone catch the parallel to Chuck wearing the tinfoil? I was totally thinking that. I mean, that's definitely why he refused to wear it at first, right? I mean, what do you guys think?
Yes.
He refused, yeah. I was wondering why he refused that. There you go.
It was reminding him of Chuck.
Yep. That's a great call, guys. And you're doing all the deep cuts tonight, brother. That's great.
Yeah.
He's wrestling with everything. I mean, this is the final. I was getting such a Western vibe from this episode of this is the last stand, and everything's coming to a halt. He doesn't know what's happening with Kim. He's reflecting on his life, and we get this moment where he full-on gives up, steps on the cactus, and gives up. And Mike gives the speech of all speeches. Gabby, you texted us, love Mike. I just want to hear all your thoughts on that scene.
Oh, the scene where he was like, you want to know why I do this? And then tells him, because I was questioning, how is Mike still going? You know, Saul's so much younger than him, not to say, you know, no offense, but he is. And so when he gave that speech, I was like, damn, that was typical Mike, such a hard ass, but so caring at the same time and passionate about his family and loving. And that's what I love about him is he's straight to the point always. He's very sarcastic and he's super loving towards his family. I don't know. I'm obsessed with this character. I think he's adorable. I love him.
Yeah. Lauren, thoughts on just the buddy, the two buddy tour?
Well, it wasn't like a Seth Rogen, rom-com or something like that. Seth Rogen and Barbara Streisand. it wasn't like that. But Mike is a badass. That character could have been in any 1970s, 1980s cop TV show, like Streets of San Francisco, Starsky and Hutch. He's just kind of got that, like, that cool, low voice kind of, let's just get this shit done kind of thing. That's what really draws me to Mike. And it makes me think back to what other projects that he's worked on.
The actor, yeah. Incredible performance. I think his monologue to Saw there was maybe my favorite delivery he's ever given. I mean, Sean, you're an actor. What did you think of his performance in that scene, and just maybe throughout the entire episode also?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the thing about Mike is he's a man of few words, you know, so when he gets like a monologue like this, it's pretty awesome because, you know, we know he can do it. And then he just comes through and he delivers. I mean, this whole buddy thing of, you know, it's like the idiot and the guy that knows what he's doing. Right. I mean, it's classic buddy stuff, trying to survive. One guy knows what he's doing. One guy has zero knowledge of what he's doing. I mean, the thought he was going to like dig through the desert and bury the money, right? Like, oh, and I'll remember this tree, that whole thing. I mean, it's like, I just love it. Mike's like, it's not going to work. Not going to work. And of course, it doesn't work. So, but I will say, hats off to Saul, though, for him being like, we got to end this. I can't do this anymore. Like, you got to take him out, bro. You got to use all your skills. And we got to be done with this because I'm drinking my own pee and I don't know what's going on anymore.
Oh my God. He gets to his wit's end. And it's almost like that was a vulture in the sky, that red car throughout the entire episode. And every time it came by, they just had to hide or wait it out. And yeah, when Saul's just had enough, he quits. He's at end. He pulls on the tinfoil he refused to wear. And just goes out as an open target decoy. Oh my gosh. There's just so much you could read into on that scene. So many symbolic parallels. And just Mike with the gun. And he missed the first shot. When he missed the first shot, I was like, oh my gosh. The amount of tension that they can conjure up in the show is unbelievable. And then he drank the pee.
Well, actually, I had a question. Did he miss or was there two guys in the car?
Oh, great. I think
I wasn't sure if there were two guys.
I think there was.
I know there was initially one guy, but okay. Well, when I was trying to see, I'm like, are there two guys?
No, there was one survivor.
No, I know that. Yeah. I remember that. I just didn't know if he went and got somebody else. I couldn't tell when they did the close up, when he first took that shot. I thought, maybe, is there another guy? Is that why it's two shots? But you're right. I think about it now, the way he kind of took a breath and was like, you got to get this, Mike. You're right. I think you're right.
Because he's, you know, as a sharpshooter, he's got to deal with a moving target and wind and velocity and everything, you know, all those other technical details. So, you know, and then it's drama. But that car flip was one of the best car flips I've seen. Oh. Again, since those TV shows like Streets of San Francisco and those cop shows from the 80s, that was amazing.
Who do you guys think that other branch of like the cartel was? Do you think those were Gus's guys? Like, who do you think that was? What group are they with? Do we have no idea?
I'm not sure, but I don't think it was Gus's people, just because he wants to be clean of, you know, if anything happens to the money or anything dealing with Lalo. I feel like they're like, he's instantly the target, like he mentioned. And so I don't think it was those people, but I'm not sure. It's not like, you know, you couldn't recognize any of those characters, any of the people.
Yeah, maybe it's just another group. I don't know. It could be another branch of the cartel that maybe.
Hey, Ryan.
What was that, Sean?
I'm sorry to interrupt. On a technical level, you're a little choppy video-wise, just so you're aware. I don't know if you're.
Oh, thanks. Jeez. Well then let's move on to the next topic. Let me know if it keeps happening.
Okay. Sorry.
All good.
Yeah. It's just everybody else is smooth and you're choppy.
I'm a little choppy. Okay. Sorry guys. I'm a little choppy. Well then let's go on to the very end. So they're walking home. They're more than halfway. Guys, where do we leave off with this? What do we think is going to happen next week? I'm not full on predictions, but we end right there with just Saul and Mike walking home down the road. They obviously are going to make it, but where are the decisions that are going to have to be made? I know they're going to pay to get Lalo out, but are there going to be any second guessing? What do we think is going to happen here?
I mean, I'll just start. This is a major turning point, like we kind of mentioned from the beginning. Everything has changed. You know, I think Saul really understands what he's dealing with and the world that he's in. I think he had some inklings before, but this really brought it home. And the fact that if Mike doesn't show up, you know, we never see him again. So this really is a huge turning point for him. And I think also for Kim as well, like, you know, this is the guy you married, the guy that decided that this was a good idea. And this was probably his worst idea of this whole series, was going down and getting this money. So, yeah, this is – we're – you know, we got two more of these, and I think they're going to be nonstop insanity.
Loving that, Sean. Lauren, where do we go from here? What's the next move?
You know what? It's hard to say because, you know, Nacho will be back somehow. We've got Gus. We've got Los Pollos Hermanos that's got to be rebuilt. And we've got the drug den, not the drug den, but the facilities to be built. So, you know, I kind of, we got, at some point we got to see those things come up. And so I'm curious. I have more questions than answers for you.
Questions and answers. Gabby, where do we go from here?
I think we're going to be seeing a lot more of Kim immersed in that world. And I think that they are now going, well, the cartel and Lalo for sure is going to take advantage of the fact that Kim is so vulnerable and use, you know, Jimmy and her emotions as far as, you know, trying to get ahead. So I don't think he has a choice but to listen to Lalo now, because Lalo knows too much about the world and Jimmy's personal life, you know, and I think they're going to take a lot of that and use it to their advantage. So I think it's going to be a lot of Kim in that scene, and it's not going to be good.
Oh God. I'm so scared about Kim. Oh my gosh. Lauren, I heard you got some potential news for us today. Is that right?
Yeah. I don't want to spoil exactly who, but I do have interest from, an actor from the show who's expressed interest in coming on to the last episode of the season. That would be April 20th. So
guys, stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
That's so
exciting.
Holy cow. Yeah. You'll have to see who we got. And everyone, please hit that like button, because that's how we can get some more guests coming on this show from Better Call Saul. We all love this show so much. Thank you for making us the ESPN of TV talk. Hit that like button, comment below, give us a rating on iTunes. Guys, we're moving into the special segment of MVP. Who is the most valuable player of this week? Let's start with Sean McHugh. You know who he's going to pick.
I think there's only one choice. There's only one choice. I mean, you cannot pick anybody else except for Mike. I mean, he literally saves the day on multiple occasions, really. I mean, obviously physically first by taking out everybody, but then, like, helping him get home. I mean, you know, otherwise Saul's wandering around the desert somewhere, you know, and he's vulture feed. So hands down for me, Mike showed that he's the OG-est of all OGs.
Gabby, who you got?
Yeah, I was going to say Mike, too. You know, he's my favorite. But also, like you said, it's just, you know, he just saved the day. You would not expect him to come out of nowhere and save Jimmy like that, because, like you said, he would be dead if it wasn't for him. And especially guiding him through the desert. Yeah, he just, overall, his performance, how he took Jimmy under his wing and everything, and how he's just a badass, man. He just stole the whole episode. So, yeah, definitely Mike. Yeah.
Oren Kling.
Mike.
Love it. I am full agreement with you guys. It's Mike. He, as Sean said earlier, the OG, the cop from the 80s shows, like Lauren was saying, it's Mike. Mike is, and this kind of makes sense how they are so tight, Saul and Mike, in Breaking Bad. Like, they went through this together. Mm-hmm. This is quite a journey back. I think even Lalo said 34.6 miles. Like, it's far away. So, wow, what a walk. Let's get into our predictions for next week, y'all. Really excited.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV.
The table is set. The stakes have never been higher. I am terrified for Kim. Gabby, what's going to happen? Predictions.
Like I said, I think Kim is going to be immersed in that world, whether she likes it or not. I am not sure if Gus knows where Mike is at or what he's up to, I would assume. And I think that Gus is going to send someone or himself to go get, you know, Mike and Jimmy, or try to find Mike. And then I think there's going to be a lot more Lalo and stuff with Nacho going on. A lot more intense scenes like that, for sure. That shootout scene was total Breaking Bad, and I think that's going to be what's happening, like you said, Sean, for the next couple of episodes.
Yo, real quick, someone in the chat just goes, MVP was the prison guard. I don't know why. Okay, Sean, predictions for next week.
Well, I'm hoping that we're finally, the money's going to be there, and finally my boy Team Lalo is going to get out of prison and start wrecking stuff, start destroying lives. I'm sorry, Ryan, I think Kim might be collateral damage.
No.
I'm just saying.
I
100% agree.
Yeah. Oh, wow. it's because, I mean, you think about, if you really think about who can they really hurt us with?
Oh, God, Sean.
You know what I mean? And, like, she's really the only one left that they can hurt us with.
What about Nacho's
I'm
dad?
I'm not wishing it. Believe me.
They could hurt Nacho's dad. I'm
yeah,
not saying I'm
yeah,
picking
not
one.
Yeah, not as invested.
I'm not saying I'm picking one.
As invested as we are in Kim.
Dude, I will so, if that happens, that
I'm
will
just
be.
I'm just saying, this is. It's not looking good. It's
that will
not
be
looking
a
good.
Rough after show if that happens, okay? I will be emotionally compromised. I don't know how. Someone's going to need to take the stick, because that will be a rough day if that happens. God forbid. God forbid, Sean. Lauren, what do you think?
I'm not wishing it. Know that I'm not wishing it.
Oh, gosh.
My prediction? Nacho drives in his car to pick up Mike and Saul.
Oh,
that's good.
Okay,
that's my prediction.
His Mustang, I think. Remember that?
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I'm gonna just give answers by using these little.
I'm loving it. I love it. You know, Kim uses a lot of post-it notes, so it's perfect. But guys, yeah. As Mr. T said in Rocky III, prediction: pain, guys. I'm feeling pain on all fronts, all right? I don't know how much more pain Saul or Mike could take, but they're only halfway there. I think, they're going to need a miracle. They're going to need someone to be driving by, picking them up. The money's already kind of leaking. They got a license plate just covering a hole. It's pain. Pain on all fronts. Pain for all the characters, maybe except for Lalo. I think Lalo is, like, the only safe one here. In fact, I would like to be on Lalo's side. He might be an MVP in that regard. But wow, what a crazy episode. This show is just getting crazier and crazier each week. And I really do think everyone is just hopping on board. They're binging during the quarantine. But where you can keep up with us during the quarantine, Lauren, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Lauren Kling, LaurenKling. And tomorrow night, the final episode of Schitt's Creek. We will have our final after show at about 9:35 Pacific time. So tune in.
Oh my God. Great after show, by the way. You guys got to check that out.
Thank you.
Gabby Castania. Again, so happy to have you back.
Yes.
Where can people find you?
I'm very happy to be back. Thank you. And thank you for the shout out last week, guys. That was super sweet. I was watching and I appreciated it. You guys can find me at Instagram at Gabriella Castania and on Twitter at Gabby Castania.
Team Lalo, Sean McHugh, where can people find you?
Yes, sir. Well, first, I might have to quickly change my MVP to Ryan Nielsen because of all his deep cuts on this episode. So good. Ending with a Rocky quote. My new favorite, bro.
Dude, you know Rocky's my favorite, man.
But
that's my favorite
as far
movie.
As finding me, I know. No, I know. I'm yeah, right dude. With you. Yeah. At Gorilla Suit Sean on Twitter, at SeanStar75 on the gram. And you can also, if you binge Ozark already, you can catch me on that after show as well.
Yo, Ozark is hot right now. So, guys, check
so
out that
good.
After show.
So good.
I think it's on the same channel, Dramas. So just scroll down in our feed. It's there. Check that out. Guys, this has been the Better Call Saul after show. Again, during quarantine, please be safe. Wash your hands. Keep clean. Keep and stay inside. Stay socially isolated. Keep the 6 feet distance. Thank you so much for watching us. Buzz you later.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.